Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. CATS, champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Go Big Blue!
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
All right, welcome into the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside me, as always, is Chris Littrell. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good on this June 1st, Kenny. It is summertime.
It is summertime. We have officially made it to summer. We're still doing the Podcats. I wouldn't have bet that a year ago.
I rarely keep doing the same thing for longer than a year.
Right. Oh, that's bad news. That's bad news for us. Yeah. Not because
This is an exception.
Right. So not anything to do with Louisville.am. They're fantastic. We think they'll be around for decades to come. But we just can't believe they let two guys like me and Chris continue to talk about UK sports. And you know what really triggered that for me, Chris, is, you know, that disclaimer at the very beginning of the show that the views expressed in this show do not represent the thoughts and viewpoints of Veritas New Media. And I heard that and I thought, gosh, that probably rings most true for our show more than anything else, without getting into too much details. But I think he made that legal just for us.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we got kind of an interesting show this week. I thought last week's show, we talked all RUP all the time, so we've left a few topics on the table for this week. Thank goodness, because we're once again in a pretty slow week outside of baseball and softball, which we will get to, the Batcats and the softball team. But the first thing I want to lead off the show with is a couple weeks ago, might have been even 10 days, I don't know, but the schedule for UK football and their West rotating opponent, if you're not familiar with the football schedule, you play everyone in your division, so Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and Missouri, play them every year no matter what, and you alternate home and away. Then Kentucky has a permanent opponent in Mississippi State. And so that's game seven, and with the SEC deciding to stick with an eight game league schedule, you only have one other SEC West opponent, which is actually pretty good for UK, to be honest with you. You just Alabama, LSU, Auburn, yeah, you don't really want to play those guys every year, A&M. And so the SEC went ahead and set that, you know, who's going to be the rotating opponent for every team in the league for the next decade, starting with the 2014 season all the way through the 2025 season. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know if you've gotten to take a look at it or not, Chris, but it's funny because it used to be that you would play like Alabama at Alabama 1 year, and then within a year or two later, Alabama was coming back to you. You know, there wasn't a long, drawn-out process between seeing those opponents. So you might have 2 years where you're playing Alabama, and that sucks, but then you'd have two back-to-back years at Ole Miss. The way the new thing works, it's not exactly like that. Not exactly like that at all. And so just to give listeners a heads up, if you haven't seen, basically here's how it goes. Starting this year, Kentucky plays at LSU. In 2015, they get Auburn at home. So it's alternating home and away still, not the same teams. 2016 at Alabama, 17 Ole Miss comes to Commonwealth, at Texas A&M in 2018, versus Arkansas here at Commonwealth in 2019. 2020 is at Auburn, which is kind of weird because, you know, you started with LSU, so they jumped Auburn in front of LSU on the return game. Right. So you go at Auburn. 2021 is LSU comes back to Commonwealth. A full 7 years. It'll be 7 years between.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is 2022 at Ole Miss. So that's a 5-year difference. Alabama. So Ole Miss jumped Alabama again. That's kind of weird. Versus Alabama in 2023 at Arkansas, who jumps A&M. And then finally, the last one is 2025, Texas A&M, for the first time ever, will come to Commonwealth Stadium. Texas A&M will be in the SEC for over a decade before they ever come to Commonwealth Stadium. It looks like 12 years, you know, 12, 13 years. That's kind of crazy to me. How do you feel about the way that they've done this rotating SEC West schedule now for Kentucky, Chris?
Well, I mean, in years past, I never paid much attention to how they determined who the teams from the West would be that Kentucky would play. I'm looking at it like this, and you know, I'm looking at it right now. It is kind of interesting when you look at it, and for instance, you see that this year Kentucky will be going down to Baton Rouge. I mean, that's a fun road trip for, you know, Kentucky fans, for anybody. I mean, whoever your favorite team is, you know, a chance to go to LSU. That's a really cool environment. A lot of night games there, you know, blah, blah, blah. We can go on and on. Same with Auburn or Alabama or anywhere you want to go. But, you know, if you want to go, if you're a Kentucky fan and you're wanting to check LSU off your list, you got to go this year because you're not going to get another chance to go for you know, at least 10 years. I mean, the way they're, you know, running through this schedule, you got to play everybody on the road and then at home again before you're going to get another shot at going down there. So I do think it's kind of strange that, for one thing, that they've got it planned out this far into the future. I know they, a lot of times, you know, schedule their games two or three seasons in advance, but you know, you just look at this and it's just kind of interesting to look at this schedule and really see how, you know, after this year, Kentucky will not be going back down to LSU for at least 10, 11, 12 years. I don't know. I just think it's unfortunate that not only are you going to not have a chance to go to these places, but you're only going to see Kentucky play these teams once every 4 or 5 years now. I guess maybe that was the case beforehand. I don't know, but I don't know. It's kind of strange to me.
I agree with it. I mean, here's the positive I see in this. If you're Kentucky, you're a growing football program. You're nowhere near the heights of LSU, Alabama, or Auburn. You're just not. You're not there yet. You're probably a decade away from being there. Could you sneak up and beat Ole Miss? Yeah, totally. I think Ole Miss is a good team right now under Hugh Freeze, but could you get Ole Miss? Yeah, Ole Miss is one of those mid-level teams that Kentucky could get. You know, in 2017, who knows what either team will look like from now. Freeze might not be there. Stoops might not be at Kentucky. You never know. You know, the other thing is at A&M, Sumlin has them as a very, very good team. I think there's a lot of question marks post-Manziel era with A&M, so maybe. But we won't find out until 2018. Arkansas is another team Kentucky can go down and play and beat, depending on where they're at in their program at the given time. So I like that, you know, there's a plus in not having to play Alabama in back-to-back years where you're pretty much like, that's a loss. You know, you can always have a bad year. Auburn is a case in point. National championship, horrible year, fire the coach, back in the national championship. You know, so to catch Auburn in any given year, maybe not so bad. In fact, Kentucky did beat at Auburn in a given year. So it's good not to have to play LSU back-to-back, Alabama back-to-back. At the same time, as a college football fan, I think you're absolutely right. I am Baton Rouge, Death Valley is on my list of places to watch a game. I would prefer to watch a Kentucky game there, even though I know Kentucky won't have a shot at it. Because it's probably an easier ticket than like LSU, Florida. I would love to see a game in Baton Rouge, hopefully a night game, but you're absolutely right. If I don't go this year, which I'm considering, I have to consider, but if I don't go this year, we're looking at a decade, maybe more, because there's no guarantee that in 2026, the SEC, will put LSU back at the front of the line for Kentucky. The only reason they're at the front of the line right now is because we played them last year. That's the only reason they're at the front of the line.
Yeah.
So I get the schedule in a way, because if you're Mark Stoops, you don't have to look at back-to-back year. You don't have to look at the next 6 years. If you look at the next 6 years, you're not saying LSU once, Auburn twice, Alabama twice, one Ole Miss. You're seeing LSU, Auburn, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. So you're thinking, all right, I play pretty much the entire SEC West, and I don't have the powerhouses in back-to-back years. At the same time, as a fan, it sucks. You know, who can wait until 2026 at the earliest to go to Baton Rouge? Who, you know, if you're a real fan, or, you know, even if you're a realistic Kentucky fan, which sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. We're not going to discuss what I predicted the football team to be last year because that was unrealistic. But today, I feel realistic Kentucky football fan. And so I know that they're not on the level of Alabama or LSU or even Auburn right now, but I still want to see those teams play. You know, I want to go to the Kentucky-Alabama game when it comes to Commonwealth Stadium because I want to see future NFL stars, possible national championship, and say, I saw them in person win. You know, it was the whole thing when Kentucky beat LSU in those three overtimes. LSU went on to win the national championship, and anyone who was there that day could say, I was there when Kentucky beat the soon-to-be national champions. So I'm not saying Kentucky can always win those games, but, you know, or Kentucky played Alabama close. I was there when. And now you're robbing of that possible scenario. I mean, yeah, it's a blessing and a curse. It looks okay right now. You know, part of me says, hey, this is cool. This works, you know, not doubling it up. But at the same time, I'm like, how can you – yes, you can plan. I guess I could plan to go at Auburn 6 years from now.
Right.
But I can't book a hotel 6 years in advance. I can't book a flight 6 years in advance. You know, I can mentally say I'm going to stock back money for – but who knows what's going to happen in 6 years. I could be on my fifth divorce with 20 kids.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing about this is, you know, looking at this schedule, 2014 LSU, then Auburn, Alabama, Ole Miss. You know, past that, you can still look at the schedule. You talked about A&M earlier. It's going to be 2018 before Kentucky plays Texas A&M in football. Other than, like, red shirts, and there will be, you know, a handful of guys, this roster will completely have, you know, flipped over by then. It's just, you know, kind of weird to think that, you know, you're looking at this 2018 Texas A&M game, the first time that Kentucky's going to get a shot at this new team in the conference, and not a single guy on UK's football team is going to play in that game unless they're, like, a fifth-year senior. Yeah, so none of these guys will get a shot at A&M.
Yeah, your best case scenario is that you have a fifth year redshirted Drew Barker leading the charge at Kyle Field. I mean, that's your best case scenario. And with the roster as depleted as it is, chances are a lot of these freshmen are going to play. You know, a lot of the freshmen played last year, so you're not going to have red shirts. I mean, you're. You know, and anytime you have a good year, I mean, that could be all for naught. Anytime that you're building a program, you'll fill in the roster, and maybe it's a good thing. I don't know what Texas A&M looks like post Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, and Mike Evans. They could be a monster. It could be a good thing. You know, you might not want to play Texas A&M until 2018 because Sumlin may be at USC or Notre Dame or some other big school by then. You never know. Might be at Texas. You never know. So it's interesting. I can see it. There's so much uncertainty about it. I mean, if you were looking at let's just go off LSU. I know Kentucky played them last year. They're playing them this year. You know what you're getting with LSU. You know, if the next one on your schedule was 2 years of Auburn, you kind of know what you're getting there. Gus Malzahn's probably still going to be at Auburn. It appears to be where he wants to be in life. You know they're probably going to have pretty decent teams. You don't know exactly what the roster will look like, but you kind of know what you're getting into. But to look at, you know, 2017, 2018 and say Ole Miss and Texas A&M, you might be able to project, like you said, because But you're basically looking at redshirt. You're taking this year's freshman incoming class, and you're saying, well, if they all redshirted and played, they would be juniors or seniors, and we might have a good team based on star ratings. But how many guys don't pan out? How many guys transfer, get hurt? I mean, and just like I said, from the logistical standpoint, you can't book, you know, I can't book a plane ticket to Auburn in 2020. I can't rent a car. I can't plan that. I might not even have my car. I can't text my buddies and be like, oh, dude, did you see the schedule at Auburn 2020? Mark it down. It's like, no, what do you? So there's some reassurance that, you know, this is going to be the schedule. But at the same time, it's kind of like, why do it that far out? Why set it that far out? It doesn't make sense to me. If anything, I would like to see Texas A&M and Old Miss, two teams that Kentucky has not played super recently, at the front of this list instead of Auburn and Alabama and all that. I'm sure there's some algorithm that set all this up for all the teams, but you know, it's just it's kind of a silly thing. I know we're nitpicking here, but parts of it just kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where the SEC wants to go ahead and get the schedule out of the way. That way, I guess it makes it easier for all of these athletic departments to, you know, hash out their travel situations. You know, I guess it's a good thing that Kentucky knows that they're going to go to Arkansas in 2025 or whatever. That way they don't have to worry about it. But, I mean, at the same time, you would think that the SEC would also take into consideration, hey, maybe in 2018 – you know, Kentucky and Auburn are going to be really, really good. I mean, I'm just saying, when yeah. when you plan so far ahead and you set your schedule so far ahead, well, maybe in 2018, Kentucky and Auburn are going to be, you know, preseason top five teams. And if the SEC would have waited and maybe, you know, done their schedule a year or two in advance, they would see that and say, hey, we need to match up these two teams. This is going to be a great game. This is going to be a good game for the SEC. You know, two top five teams getting a shot at one another. But now you know that that is absolutely not going to happen, regardless of how good the teams are, how intriguing of a matchup that might be. It's not going to happen. So when you plan ahead and when you set your schedule this far in advance, you're taking away the ability for the schedule makers at the SEC or whatever to put together some really good, interesting matchups, you know. And I think that's, you know, one of the drawbacks of this system.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You don't know, TV won't know, you know, you may want to avoid, if Kentucky and Auburn are top five teams and they have that regular season meeting, you might want to have split that up and reserve that for the SEC championship game, you know, protect a team, you know, a little bit. I don't know. What this really reeks of to me is the conference doesn't really take the other cross-divisional foe game very seriously. They've got their, you know, all your division games, and you've got your permanent opponent. And from here on out, we just don't care. We don't care when Alabama and Florida plays each other. We don't care when Auburn and Georgia play each other. If they're not the, you know, crosstown opponent or whatever, well, Auburn and Georgia are, but we don't care when Arkansas and Missouri play each other. You know, any of these things that could be really interesting, they don't care. So, and of course the last two examples don't count because I, for some reason, picked their permanent opponents like an idiot, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, they don't have, they don't care outside of what your permanent cross rival is and your current divisional schedule. That's what this reeks of, that we just threw all these names into like a computer model and this is what it spit out. And we looked at it and we said, yeah, that sounds about right. No, we're okay with that. Let's do that. Okay, cool. You know, I don't know. Maybe they think it's better to play every 6 or 7 years and alternate it then. Then I guess the alternative would be if you started with LSU this year and everyone did two, it would be 12 years before you got, you know, before you cycled through.
Yeah.
But it's going to be that way anyway. So I don't know. I'm sure the league has a reason for it that makes sense. Maybe they don't. Maybe we're just splitting hairs on a Sunday afternoon in the summer because, hey, there's nothing else going on. But
got to talk about something.
Got to talk about something, right? But anyways, I do have a little bit of a gripe about it. It does kind of – it helps me plan. I guess I'm going to buy – do you know if they sell calendars in generational links, like every 15 years, so I can mark it down?
That'd be something to Google.
Okay. Well, if they don't, I might start a company. Would you like to invest in generational calendars?
We'll talk about this
off the air. If anyone else would like to invest in a generational calendar or maybe take this to Shark Tank or something else, you let me know. But anyway, switching gears a little bit. We do have some news this week that's actually legitimate. We'll start with the baseball team. They are still active in postseason play, but just barely. Their regional started this week. They did get the Louisville region, as we had talked about. I think it was down to that, or the Bloomington region. Despite their run in the SEC tournament and a two seed, they couldn't just sneak up enough to get their own regional. And I think it was pretty much set in stone that Louisville was going to get a regional. They pretty much get a regional every year, newer stadium, blah, blah, blah. But
the power of Tom Jurich.
The power of Tom Jurich. So anyways, there was this hypothetical matchup this week that Kentucky and Louisville would play in the second round of the regional, and the winner would have, you know, the upper hand. Well, in preparation for that, Kentucky does not throw their ace and national player of the year, A.J. Reed, in the first game, which was a crazy game, 6 hours long, due to some crazy long and possibly unnecessary rain delays there at the stadium. Kansas ends up besting them 10-6. Kentucky just gets rocked. Their bullpen goes they just used up pretty much the whole bullpen. They come back yesterday or 2 days ago, and they play Kent State, who had their number, I think, 2 years ago in a regional.
Yeah, 2012.
And then also played them in a 21-inning game in the regular season, and I think beat them in the regular season, 21-inning game. So it was looking that way again. Kentucky down 2-0 in the top of the ninth. A.J. Reed had pitched a pretty good game. I mean, giving up two runs in college baseball is actually quite a feat considering their offensive
Oriented.
There we go. Sorry. Anyways, Kentucky explodes in the top of the ninth, gets four runs. Reed comes out, closes complete game.
He got the little rally started, too, in the ninth inning, didn't he?
He did. They had a chance to walk him and decided not to. He lines a double. They pinch run for him, which a lot of people thought that means he couldn't finish the game as a pitcher. But in college baseball, if you also bat, if you're the DH – or in the lineup as a pitcher, not every team bats their pitcher, but if you're in the lineup, you can be pitch run for and still come back on and pitch.
Only pitch.
You could not come back on as a fielder or anything else, even if this was in like the second inning. But you could you could hypothetically be pinch run for in the second inning and pitch the rest of the game. So anyways.
That's interesting.
Very interesting loophole, but Kentucky gets it out. They play, we tape these on Sunday, as we've said before. Kentucky plays in just a few hours in an elimination game against Kansas again. Reed apparently will not pitch the rest of the weekend after going 9, so it's going to be up to some other guys to lock down the mound. If Kentucky wins at noon, they then play Louisville tonight in another elimination game for Kentucky only. If Kentucky wins those two games, they play for the chance to go to a super regional on Monday. So Kentucky has to win 3 straight games to make it to a super regional. The good news being, if they can win 3 games, Florida State, which was the national seed in the other regional in the matchup, got swept out of their regional. And so Kentucky could be the highest ranked seed should they survive. And they could host the super regional at the Cliff Hagen Field, if they can make it out this weekend. That's a big if in my mind. Kentucky has the offense. I've always thought that their pitching wasn't that great, and Friday kind of held true to that. That being said, they've had Louisville's number. They have to get through Kansas first. Kansas doesn't appear to be a slouch of a team. If they get through Kansas, they've had Louisville's number this year. Can they continue to have Louisville's number? I'm not entirely sure. Kind of interested to see what you think about this, Chris.
Well, I mean, I don't follow the baseball team as closely as I do the basketball or the football team. I have been kind of paying attention, you know, this year. Gotta love a kid like A.J. Reed. Don't know how much you know about his backstory. He's an Indiana kid from Terre Haute. Yeah, I mean, they put him out there yesterday, had to, and you know, with the backs against the wall, it was win or go home. And you know, he came through big time yesterday on the mound and at the plate. We'll just have to see what happens today. They've beaten Louisville twice this year, correct?
Yes.
You know, again, you never want to have to face that team. You know, when it all counts, that team that you've already beat, you know, in the regular season. Now, we beat Louisville in the regular season and in the NCAA tournament in basketball this year. Wasn't a problem. So I'm not saying that it can't be done, but it looks like an uphill climb for Kentucky to get out of this weekend, really, if you ask me. I mean, I think, you know, if they get the win today, I it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they come back and beat Kansas today. Not going to have their ace on the mound. It's going to be tough for them. Going to have to score some runs. And then, you know, one more shot at Louisville, and you just got to see what happens, basically.
Yeah, I think there's some hope here. Obviously, you got to get through Kansas. You know, if it wasn't for all the rain delays on Friday and the touch and go, it was spotty showers in Louisville, so it would be like a lightning strike. And then there wouldn't be any lightning for 30 minutes right when they're about to get things restarted. And then you had another lightning strike. And in baseball, you know, you can't just let a guy sit around cold for probably much more longer than an hour, a pitcher. Yeah. And then you have to go to the bullpen. So I think that played a little bit into it. The bats were obviously there. Kentucky was challenging. Kansas just did a little bit of better job of it. It'd be interesting to see. A.J. Reed did act as if he could pitch a couple of innings on Monday if needed, but I think they're more interested. I mean, they need his bat as National Player of the Year more than his arm. He is a pretty good, he is the ace pitcher, but at the same time, if he can hit around, he can negate some of that. So good luck to the Batcats. Obviously, we'll discuss their fate. Hopefully next week we're talking about them hosting a super regional. That would be pretty cool. I don't know that Kentucky has ever hosted a super regional. Not in recent memory, for sure. Not in the last 15 years.
Not that I can remember.
Right. So that would be big for them, for sure. On the flip side of that is the softball team, which I, if you would have asked me last night when we were texting about the show, if we would have talked about glowingly about the softball team today, I would have said yes. And we still may. But unfortunately, they just had a bad three innings last night. They are now out of the College World Series. I think last week we weren't even sure if they were going to make the College World Series. They thump UCLA in two straight games at UCLA to make the College World Series, beat up on Louisiana Lafayette, the number six team in the nation, the first round, dropped a game in the second round, was playing Baylor up 7-0 in the bottom of the sixth. Gives up three runs, then gives up four more runs in the bottom of the seventh, go into extras, and Baylor kind of finishes the job in the elimination game. But I have to say, I don't follow softball less than I follow the baseball team. But in watching a few of their games, I tell you what, I think Kentucky is not that far away from being a softball powerhouse. And you have to contend with the Alabamas and the Floridas and the Tennessees, you know, the West Coast teams. But Kentucky was hanging with it. I mean, they were one of the last eight teams in the nation, had a chance to play their way into the semifinals, kind of let the train get off the rails. But I'm a big fan of what Rachel Lawson is doing at UK. If I'm Mitch Barnhart, I make sure she doesn't leave, because they have steadily grown and grown and grown. And now they've had a taste of the College World Series. Their pitcher, Nunley, is only a sophomore. So she can continue to progress and improve, you hope. They had I think half the lineup was seniors, but the other half, fairly young, freshmen and sophomores. They have a lot to build to. I don't know that they should hang their heads at all on the season they just had.
Yeah, agreed with you. I mean, anytime you, you know, make it into the postseason and get some big wins like they did, you gotta consider that to be a successful season. You gotta consider that to be some momentum heading into, you know, next year. So, and you're right, they did beat a really good team in Louisiana Lafayette, and I think that turned some heads and got people saying, hey, you know, Kentucky softball, look out. Couple hot chicks on the team too. I'm trying to figure out who they are.
Oh yeah, you didn't catch it on the back of their jersey, their name?
Well, I'm looking at one picture in particular.
It's the first baseman, isn't it?
Young, pardon me?
First baseman, blonde.
No, she has, it looks like she might be number one. There's a picture on KSR of the team in their little, what it looks like to be their pregame sis boomba moment. And there's one girl facing the camera, and she has, it looks like she's wearing the number one, and then I can't tell if there's another number. It's being obscured by someone's arm, but I am quite smitten by her cute face.
Well, hopefully you can get to know her, figure out her name. It's probably on the UK Athletics website.
I am currently researching this.
Well, good luck with that. Hopefully she comes back next year. You might be our softball correspondent if that's the case.
That is a task that I would gladly perform.
But anyways, we'd like to, you know, a big congratulations to the team. I think they overperformed, overachieved what their expectations were for the year. And we don't mean to be disrespectful with that, but, you know, a strong season to build upon for sure.
Sure.
And hopefully the baseball team can make a hell of a run. I think at this point, if they, you know, I think if they could at least force Louisville into the Monday game, that's considered an okay achievement by me, by my standards. They, a little bit of an underperformance, but you dug yourself a hole in the regional that's kind of hard to come out of. But anyways, hopefully the baseball team can put things together and we can talk about them next week. Chris, is there anything else you want to touch on before we wrap it up?
No.
All right. That's pretty simple. Well, let's just end this the way that we always do, with a big, hearty, go Cats.
Go Cats.